There's a welcome here, there's a welcome here, there's a Christian welcome here, hallelujah, there's a welcome here, there's a welcome here, there's a Christian welcome here. Well, it's good to see each person that is here. I don't get up here quite as much as I did already, but it's good to be together again this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 this morning. We want to talk about true Christian fellowship this morning. And John talks about fellowship in these verses here in chapter 1. In fact, he has the word fellowship in here four times in these 10 verses here in 1 John chapter 1. And I was wondering, who can tell me what you think of when you hear the word fellowship? What's it mean to you? What's fellowship mean? Okay. Okay. It could be both, can't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Communication. Mm-hmm. Between each other. Anything else? I think this thing's getting alive here. Anyone else? Okay. Fellows on the same ship, huh? Okay, we often hear that term, fellows on the same ship. So they're on the same ship, they're going the same direction, working together. Okay. Anyone else? It's all good, so. What was that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have definitions out of the dictionary here too. And I'm going to give that to you. It says it could be companionship, brotherhood. We were talking about the body here this morning, the brotherhood. And so I think this just fits right on to that, what we were talking about in Sunday school class this morning. It's community of interest, the relationship existing among those holding the same religious beliefs. And so we call our group the Keystone Mennonite Fellowship. We used to be Lancaster Conference. Now we went to the word fellowship. I think that's because everyone in the group has a part to say, can speak their part. And so when we started up the Keystone Mennonite Fellowship, we sat together as a congregation. And how do you want to word this? What do you want to say here? How should we word this? And that kind of thing. And that's fellowship, to make decisions together. So another one then is a close association or relationship. In Christian terms, this means mutual acceptance of and submission to the criteria, the verities of the Christian faith. Okay. It means sharing a personal knowledge of one's heart, felt obedience to God through Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see in these verses here that John talks about fellowship, but it's a certain kind of fellowship. We're going to notice it's Christ, with God the Father, it's with Christ his Son, and it's with other believers. So all three have to be present to be Christian fellowship. So let's look what John says here in 1 John chapter 1. He starts out with the word that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So let's think about this a little bit, about the persons of the fellowship, first of all. The first one he mentions is Jesus. Notice that which was from the beginning. Now, he didn't say that Jesus had a beginning. He says he was from the beginning. So he existed before the beginning is what he's saying there. That which was from the beginning. We have the word which here six times in these couple verses here. And I'd like you to notice what it says about it. That which was from the beginning is the first one. So Christ was beginning. And back, you go back to John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to say, the same was in the beginning with God. They said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's referring to Jesus, the Word. And so he has there, the Word is capitalized. If you look here in verse 1 here, the Word of life, Word is capitalized. So it's a name. It's a name for Christ. That which was from the beginning. He's talking about Christ here. Now let's move on. John said, we have heard him. So John and the other disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, walking about with him as Jesus taught and as he preached, as he healed the sick. They were with him. John said, we heard him. So that was that which we have heard. The disciples heard Jesus speaking as they walked with him those 3 years. And then he says, which we have seen with our eyes. And we were talking about different parts of the body here this morning. And so we have the ears here. We heard him. We have the eyes here. We have seen him, John said. And so we were there. We actually saw him. And so I think one of the definitions of an apostle is an eyewitness of Christ. John, the apostle John, was an eyewitness of Christ. He said, we saw him with our eyes. And then he says, we have looked upon him. And you might think that's the same thing, but I want you to think about something here. If you go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about this as well. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Remember what happened in Matthew chapter 17? That was one of the readings in our daily readings for our Sunday school lesson this week. What happened in Matthew 17? Does anyone tell me offhand? Let's go back and look. Let's go back to Matthew 17. And we start out in the first verse. It says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. Now look what happened here. It said, his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared with him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter, the spokesman, speaks up. He says unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear him. So I think that's what Peter was talking about there in 2 Peter, that verse we looked at, they beheld his, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And here they were looking on Jesus, and it says that he was transfigured before them. Can you imagine what that had been like? When they went up that mountain with Jesus, he looked like he did any other time. But while they were there with him, something changed. It says he became, his face did shine as the sun, bright as the sun. And his raiment, his clothing was white as the light. And Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, the majesty. And I think that's what John is talking about here when he says, we looked upon him and our hands have handled, but look, he said who it was, of the word of life. This wasn't just an ordinary man, was it? No, this was Jesus Christ. And Peter says, we beheld his majesty. John says, we looked on him when he was being changed there on the mount. We looked on him. Now, we haven't seen anything like that, have we? But we have seen Jesus, haven't we? Jesus is here with us this morning. And we can view him. We can see him. We can hear his message to us this morning. And then he goes on in verse 2 and sort of elaborates more on verse 1. He tells us, for the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that what? Show unto you Jesus? He didn't say it that way. I'm showing unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which was from the beginning, John says, we're declaring that unto you. We heard him. We saw him. We looked upon him on the mount. And now we're declaring it to you. Our hands touched him. We have handled him. He was the word of life. He's that eternal life that was with the Father. Now look at verse 3. Here's another, that which. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? So that you can have fellowship. Isn't that beautiful? So that you can have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. What a message. What a message here. John says, this is Jesus. He's the one. He's not just a man. He's the God-man. Not just a man like you and I. He had no beginning. He was born there in Bethlehem. That's when his earthly life began. But he was before then. He was with the Father, John said. The eternal life that was with the Father. So what a message John had to bring to them here. And he says, I want you to have, I'm writing this so that you can have your joy, that your joy may be full. So there was three times here in 1 John that John says, I'm writing this for a purpose. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. Another reason John wrote these words. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Another reason. I write so that you joy might be full. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, I write so that you don't sin. Let's go to chapter 5, another place where John says, I write. Verse 13, 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What a privilege we have. Brothers and sisters, we can know that we are God's children this morning. Isn't that great? We can know that. John says, I'm writing this that you might know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So three things John says, this is why I've written unto you. Does anyone remember why John wrote the Gospel of John? He tells us in John 20, verse 31. Does anyone remember what that says there? That you might believe on him. Exactly right. And here he says, now I'm writing so that you might have full joy, so that you don't sin, And so that you can know that you're saved. Beautiful. The message that John brought to us through Jesus. So John says, I want you to have fellowship with him. Now, let's think a little bit. Why did John elaborate so much on who Jesus was and what he was like? He was the God-man, and John wanted us to know that. But he also brings out here that Jesus came in the flesh. And there was a reason why John wrote that. There was a thing which they called Gnosticism back then. The Gnostics, they believed that spirit is only good, entirely good. They believed that a man's body, flesh, or matter is evil. It can't be good. And so they separated that. And so they believed that Jesus, when he was a man walking here on the earth, he was Jesus the man. And Christ came on him at his baptism. And so at that point, the Spirit was in him. But then the Spirit left him again before he died on the cross. That's what they taught. And so John is saying, I'm writing here so that you might know that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He took on himself a body. He was the God-man. And so we have a Savior. See, Jesus couldn't have been our Savior if he wouldn't have been born in the flesh. Because spirit can't die. And so that's what they were saying. It can't die. So the Spirit left him before his death. No, Jesus came. He took on him the form of a servant. And when he was made in the likeness of man and being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior, the God-man. And John was counteracting that back here when he was teaching, because they taught that Jesus really wasn't spirit. The Spirit came on him for that purpose. So, fellowship. John says, our fellowship is with the Father, with Jesus Christ, and with other believers, each other. And so Christian fellowship includes all three. Fellowship is not Christian if Christ is not in it. It's not Christian if God is not, God the Father is not part of it. It's not Christian if we Christians aren't part of it. It takes all three for Christian fellowship. God the Father, God the Son, and Christians. But then let's move on a little bit. John goes on here, starting at verse 5, and gives us some tests of the fellowship. The first test he gives is on Christ-likeness in verses 5 through 7. And then also on confession, the test of confession and forsaking sin in verses 8 through 10. So let's look first of all at the test that he gives. The test of our fellowship is Christ-likeness. John says, this then is the message that we heard from him. Do you notice that? This is the message that we heard from Jesus. This is what Jesus told us when he was here. This is the message, and I'm going to declare it unto you. Jesus taught us that God is light. Have that? And it's absolutely no darkness in God. He's all light. There's no darkness in him. Go back to John 1 again. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then he goes on to say, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And there the word light is capitalized. That's a name for Jesus. That all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And all those lights there are capitalized. That's another name for Christ. And so John says here in verse 5, God is light. Now, when Jesus was here, He showed his Father as light. And if we go to John's Gospel, let's go back to John's Gospel. Let's go to John 3, first of all. John 3 and verses 19 to 21. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world. How did light come into the world? Jesus came into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here we have the word light again. And Jesus said, the light came into the world, but men didn't like the light. You know why they didn't like the light? He said, because their deeds were evil. They didn't want their evil deeds to be shown up for what they were. And so they tried to stay away from the light. They didn't want the light to shine on them. But the light came. And to those that received that light, it tells us that we became begotten of God. Okay, someplace here. As many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus talked more about that light. Let's go to John 8. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. So he says, the Father, God the Father is light and no darkness in him. Jesus, when he came, says, I am the light of the world. If you go into Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said unto his disciples, ye are the light of the world. And so that light gets passed on from, it came from God the Father through Jesus Christ to us. And we become lights in the world. And so today, the Christian is a light in the world. God is light. In him is no darkness, John says. That's what he taught us. Go on to John 12. John 12, again, we have the light. John 12 and verses 35 and 36. And Jesus said unto them, again, Jesus speaking, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. Light in the world. How many of you like to go out in a pitch black night and walk where you don't know where you're at without a light? We take flashlights with us, don't we? So we can see where we're going. We don't like to walk in darkness, but Jesus said, men love that darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. And here he says, walk while you have the light with you. Because the darkness, you won't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing in the darkness. So walk while you have the light with you. So walk in the light. So back to our passage again in 1 John. He says, if we have verse 6. Now we have three times here the word if. And then two times the word, I mean, if we say, okay, the if is a conditional word. And three times he says, if we say, let's notice what they are. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with Christ, with God, the Father, and we're walking in darkness, he says, we lie. We're not doing the truth. So the first if you say you're walking in the light, you have fellowship with him, but you're walking in darkness, he says, that's a lie. You're telling a lie. That's not true. Look at the next one, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, first, we're lying. Now he said, you're deceiving yourself if you say you have no sin. And the truth is not in you. Go to verse 10 again. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. So the ifs, all the ifs there, if we say, it's false. And the result is we're in darkness. We're walking in darkness. We're not in fellowship with God, not in fellowship with Christ, not in fellowship with each other, if we say those things when it's not true. Now let's go back and pick up another if. And this is but if. Notice this. In verse 7 it is. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship, one of another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, if we're walking in the light. So that's the but if. There's another, doesn't have the word but verse 9 could also be a but. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we say, but if we really are true, if we really are walking in the light, if we really are walking, following God, following Christ, then he says we're walking in the light and we confess our sins, he forgives us. Isn't that beautiful? It says God is faithful and just. Now, God is faithful to his promises. He promises to forgive us our sins if we confess them, okay? So God is faithful to do that. But he's also just. He's just. Say, well, how can God be just and work with sinners? It's through Jesus Christ. He's just. He forgives us our sins through Christ because we have confessed them and we're walking with Christ now. And so he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beautiful fellowship that we can have with Christ and with God the Father. Let's move on and look at the next condition then. This was one of the conditions for fellowship with him, that God is light. It's a test to see if we have it or not, because we walk in light as he is in the light. The next one is if we confess our sins. That's another test. If we have not confessed our sins, if we're still living in our sins, we do not have fellowship with God the Father and with the Son and with each other. Sin mars the fellowship. It destroys fellowship. We can't have fellowship when there's sin in the midst. And so I'm so happy that we can be part of God's family. And I was thinking of singing that little chorus. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Can we sing it together? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this God. For I'm a part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in his victory and his family so dear. Sing it. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this God. For I'm a part of the family of God. Well, what's that feel like to have your sins forgiven? What's it feel like to be part of the family of God? What's it feel like to fellowship with brothers and sisters? What's it feel like to know that you belong to Christ? That you're part of his family. And God is your father. And we can come to him and say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray that prayer many times. And when we come to God, we pray and say, our Father. Isn't that beautiful to be able to say that? God is our Father. Christ is our elder brother. And we come to him. We come to God the Father through the name of Jesus. So the second test here was the confession of sin. To say we have no sin, we say we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He's true to his promises. He's just. He does what is right. And God forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all the sins we've ever done. God puts a stamp on it, says, forgiven. They're not there anymore. They're gone. In the sea of his forgetfulness, they're gone. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. Now, sin breaks fellowship. Confession restores fellowship that was once broken by sin. And so as we share together as a brotherhood and fellowship together, it can be a beautiful experience. So there's two things I'd like to leave here in thinking about here. First of all, walking in the light produces true Christian fellowship. If there's darkness there, it breaks it. It doesn't work. There can't be darkness in that. But walking in the light, as God is, Christ is in the light, we have fellowship. It produces true fellowship. The second thing I see here, that true fellowship with the Father and the Son and fellow believers gives us full joy. How many rejoice that you're a Christian this morning? Look at that. Beautiful. We can rejoice that we're in God's family. And John says here in verse 4, these things have rightly unto you that your joy may be full. You can know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You know God as your Father. And you know your brothers and sisters in fellowship together. You know, we can have visits with neighbors and so on that aren't Christians, but it's something different when you're in a fellowship of believers. Totally different. And so now we can talk together back and forth. We can share with each other. And when sin is not marring the fellowship, it's a beautiful experience to be together. With your neighbors who are not Christians, we can have good visits with them and that so on. But there's something lacking. The fellowship is not there. And that's what we're talking about this morning. True Christian fellowship. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we could be together this morning. Thank you that you are our God. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to the earth to become our Savior. That you took on yourself a human body so that you could die on that cross to become our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship here at Rollinsville, for the body that's here, for each person that is here this morning. Bless our time together here, our fellowship, and thank you for what you have done for us. Go with us as we leave this place this morning to go about our daily, weekly activities again. Just help us, Lord, to carry your name with us, that others would want to become a part of the fellowship as well. So guide us as we walk with you this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the benediction, but notice the verse at the top of that. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Words of Ruth to Naomi. Let's pray. Now the Lord go with you and bless you and walk with him this week as you follow him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.